Praise the Lord, everyone. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. We better get into the Word here. Brother Davis is after me, and he cannot stand to be outdone. So if I go 30 minutes, he'll have to go an hour. You ask me how I know that. I've preached for him before. No, I'm teasing Brother Davis. He's going to do a good job. That's what he told me anyway before church today. You better. Matthew chapter 13, beginning reading with verse 24. Brother Martin, did you drink out of that? Why not? Is something wrong? Is it okay? Okay, good Louisiana water. Verse 24, another parable put forth he unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Praise God. Reading from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, and 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise God. Preaching to you today, simply sowing good. Sowing good. Aren't you thankful for the Word that's been delivered to us today? Praise God. Let's thank the Lord for the Word that's been delivered and what's about to come. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Sure appreciate what I've heard today. I was thinking as Brother Martin was speaking, he had so much information there that a mind cannot grasp it all. But I was being filled by the Spirit of what he was saying. You know, the words that are said by a preacher are not just words, but they are spirit and they are life. The Scripture says the kingdom of heaven is not in word, but in power. Meaning that the words of truth that a minister speaks is not just spoken as hollow words of knowledge, but they're filled with the very life of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I felt that today, and I also appreciate Brother Patterson, that good lesson today. I can't apply all that to my life as of yet, but I filed it away and I stored it away. And I will use it in the future. You know, in the parable of the four types of ground, the seed was sown to all four types of ground, but it only did good in one-fourth of the ground. One type of ground, the seed was sown, but before it could ever get inside the ground, the fowls of the air came down and took it, went away with it. Jesus interpreted that for us to his disciples by saying that was a type of people hearing but not understanding. Why perhaps he often said, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying unto the church. He's not just talking about a physical, tangible ear, but he's talking about consuming the words that the Spirit speaks unto us. So if I had any one request today, that would be it, that we would just consume what the Spirit would have to say unto us through the Word. Jesus was speaking to his disciples right after. In fact, he tells them of the parable of the four types of ground. He gives them another parable, he says. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And any time I read that in the Scripture, my mind just lights up. Because I know it's talking about a place that I want to be. I know it's talking about character that I want to have. It's talking about a part in life that I want to play, and that's be a part of the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesus, we use illustrations to help people understand. Even in school, they teach a young person, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. Well, they get 2 apples out, and they say 2 apples + 2 apples, and they're able to count them and see them. Well, that's what Jesus does with parables. And so he's doing that for us today. And he tells a story of a man that goes out in his field and he sows good seed. And in time, according to the scripture we read in Galatians, man's going to reap a harvest if he sows something. You know, it's interesting to me, there are two types of ministers and there are two types of Christians, there are two types of farmers. And I relate it in this parable. One farmer says, I want a crop. I want a field of, let's say, wheat. And he goes inside his house and he knows it takes God to bring that wheat and bring that harvest. So he prays and he fasts. God, send me wheat. God, send us so we can make bread and feed the hungry. And he goes into all the needs and he gets himself worked up thinking about the need. Give a harvest. And then he looks out his window and he says, oh, I believe. I believe. Then there's another type of farmer. He knows it takes God. He goes in his house and he prays, God, I want you to bring the rain when there needs to be rain, sun when there needs to be sun, and bring fruit from the seed. Then he gets off his duff and he takes a bag full of seed and he takes the hypothetical and he puts it into practice. And he takes a little seed and he goes out in the field and he sows. Sometimes we can talk in hypothetical terms about what we need to do all along. We need to get down to the practical and do something about it. And that's what this man did. He sowed good seed. But when he wasn't aware, the enemy came along and he sowed tares amidst the good seed. And in time, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. Tares produce the harvest. And the servants of the man on the field sowed the seed. They came to him and said, sir, did you not sow good seed? He said, yeah. Well, why are there tares in there? Well, he recognized it was the enemy. The enemy come and sowing tares. They said, well, okay, what do you want us to do about the tares? You want us to go out there and we'll pick them all up. We'll harvest the tares and pull them out so they won't affect the good wheat. He says, no. Ignore the tares. Focus in on the wheat. And in time, I'll have the reapers come and separate the two. Jesus later on in the same chapter interprets who the reapers are. He says, they're the angels. Read it for yourself. What this scripture is trying to say to me is God wants us to have our attention in the right place. It's so easy for us to get distracted. Get our mind off what we ought to have our mind on. And what he is saying is the kingdom of heaven is like somebody trying to do good and sow good. Sow the good word of God. Sow the seed of the Spirit. Sow the joy of the Holy Ghost. The peace of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, the enemy comes around, the enemy of man's soul, and he sows tares and he does negative things. And sometimes you even see the tares growing in the church. If you don't watch it, servants are going to come to us and even us ourselves are going to wonder, what should we do with these tares? Well, I've got a word from the Lord this morning. It simply says, ignore the tares. I'll deal with them later. You focus your attention on good, doing good, sowing good, because in due season, that good will reap a harvest. Now, the ministry of Jesus Christ was a physical representation of a God we could not see. Now we had a tangible, physical God. Everything Jesus Christ did and said was what God would do and say. We have learned most of what we know about God through the man Christ Jesus. Jesus' ministry was filled with paradoxes. Death for life, poverty for riches, sins for salvation. He never returned evil for evil. Peter wrote about him, he who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not again. But he taught us to overcome evil with good. That the way to defeat unrighteousness was to exude righteousness. not by verbal attacks on unrighteousness, not by merely pulling down, physically pulling down unrighteousness, but the way to defeat unrighteousness was to build up righteousness. Praise God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Sowing good. Sowing good. Perhaps in this time, this format, as Brother Varnum was mentioning, we could find the inspiration to put down the attitudes of the enemy by lifting up the concepts of the church. We can take some of the air of greed out of our community, out of our churches, and out of our atmosphere simply by exuding generosity. You don't have to condemn the non-giver. You don't have to cut down the tightwads. You just need to get in your pocketbook and sow good seed and give a little bit. We can deflate the attitude of selfishness and self-centeredness in our community by sowing concern for other people's needs. That's what Brother Martin was talking about. I've had the privilege in this last couple of years to travel overseas a little bit and see the obstacles to the church there and the kingdom of heaven on earth there. But when I come back to America, there's one obstacle I see that is difficult to overcome, and that's selfishness in America. That's the number one obstacle of the church. We can't overcome selfishness. Not by criticizing selfishness. Not by getting up here with the Word of God, young preachers, and beating people over the head for being self-centered. But we need to live by example and show concern for other people's needs. We need to get off our dumps and go out into the field and love people, care for people, give them something without asking for return. Is that not what the Scripture says? Lend without hope of being compensated, for then great shall be your reward, and you'll be called a child of the Highest, for He loves and cares for even the evil. Therefore show mercy as your Father in heaven shows mercy. We can establish a stumbling block for false doctrine in our area by praying that God would lead hungry hearts of all denominations and sincere ministers of any faith into all the truth. God's philosophy. How do we defeat this sin that's all around us? The attack that's on the church. It's easy to read the papers and see all the thing that's vying for a soul's attention and their effort and their love. How do we defeat all that? You don't have to attack those things. Why don't you simply promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So good, so good, so good. The message of the Lord Jesus in this scripture was, don't get distracted by evil. Let evil take care of itself. Because in the end, them that shoot wicked darts are going to be stung by their own fiery darts. And them that are digging a trap for the church and godly people are going to fall in it themselves. Is that not what Psalm says? Praise God. Don't be distracted. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, is that what it says? You can say into the mountain, go yonder and to go yonder, cast in the sea, whatever. This doesn't come by prayer and fasting. You ever seen a mustard seed? Most of us have. Very, very, it's about like a flake of pepper. Mustard seed on its own, though, is no good. It's just small. It's always going to be small. Going to be an illustration we preachers use. But if someone takes that mustard seed and they sow it, it will produce a tree. That the Scripture goes on to say, the fowls of the air will come and rest in. There are a lot of hurting people in our world. There are a lot of needing people in our world. There are people that need what we got. And they need us to get off of hypothetically talking about what we need to do and just go do it. Sow a little good. Sow a little love. Sow a little peace. Sow a little joy. Tell you, it puts something into the atmosphere when you simply do good. I was in the airport not long ago and I was waiting for my connecting flight. I was in Atlanta. And standing in line, and this young black man, he was in his his naval uniform, and he was all clean cut. And he was, I noticed him open his wallet, and there's a couple dollars in there, and he was going to get him a hot dog. And I thought, man, I know how lonely it is to be out in an airport and on your own. And he seemed like, you know, he was trying to do something with his life, committing himself to discipline and all that. I thought, man, I need to buy his meal. You know, but you know people in the airport, you're afraid of everybody. You don't know who's a mass murderer and who's not. So I watched him buy his hot dog and drink. And then he went down, and I'm over there paying for my clearly Canadian or something like that. And he did it. He put his hands up and he started praying for his food. And that put something in the atmosphere. It touched my heart. And I couldn't take it anymore. I took a $20 bill out of my wallet, out of my pocket, and I just walked by and I laid it on the table and I said, God bless you. And I just kept on going. I didn't demand a home Bible study. I didn't demand he repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, talk in tongues right there. I simply just did a little good. And I got out there in the aisle, and I was walking to my seat, and tears just started flooding down my face. Compassion overwhelmed me because I sowed something. Hallelujah. I could have got down and prayed and read the Scriptures and not felt what I felt that day. When I sowed a little good, I reaped a harvest that day. I had to go get off in the corner and talk in tongues myself because simply sowing good, felt the Holy Ghost. That's all right. You can clap your hands. The gospel will stand for itself. If we'll sow it, if we'll give good, if we'll love and care in due season, if you faint not, it will, it shall produce a harvest. Preacher, don't get discouraged. Because the false doctrine church across town is attacking you in the paper and doing all this other stuff. You simply get out there and sow good. You hear me? It's going to produce a harvest. It's going to bring some souls. Praise God. The enemy understands this law of sowing good, law of sowing and reaping. I think he understands it better than most of us because it is the sole purpose of all the attacks of the enemy or Lucifer and his imps against the church. The sole purpose of all of his attacks is to stop you from sowing good. That's it. That's the bottom line. Because he knows once you've got that seed out there, somewhere it's going to find some good ground and it's going to produce a harvest. So he constantly attacks our minds. He'll point your attention at the hypocrisies in the church. Oh, I can't believe that person in the choir. I know how they're living and the pastor still got them up there. I cannot believe that. So you know what you do? You sit down on your hands. I'm not worshiping. I'm not praising when they sing that solo. I'm not. Oh, that preacher, I know that guy. I went golfing with him last week. He's a horrible golfer. As well as a Christian, too. He's not a good Christian either. Because the enemy knows if you ever get off of your hands and you start sowing a little praise, you start sowing a little atmosphere of love and generosity, something is going to be reaped in that service. Something that's mighty good. Something that's mighty godly. Something that's of the Spirit that you've sown it in. Oh, I believe today if somebody saw a little praise, somebody saw a little worship. Praise God. You might not reap it today or tonight, but somewhere down the road, in time, there'll be a harvest. I remember one time I was in revival someplace and I had, because of some things I've been involved in, I had a form of dehydration. And very painful. And you can't hold anything down. You can't even drink water. It was horrible. And I was in so much pain, I knew what I needed. I needed God. I had to preach the next day. I needed the Holy Ghost to come down. And I couldn't speak, Brother McCool. I couldn't. I was hurting so bad. And it hit me. I am so thankful in the hour that I need God the most that I don't have to reintroduce myself to Him. I knew that if I could have got up in that bedroom and just shouted a little bit, praise, that God would inhabit the praises of His people and He'd come down and touch me. But you see, I couldn't do it. Then my mind quickly went back to the last service I was in. And I saw myself shouting. And I saw myself praising. And in that moment in time, I felt a harvest coming from something I sowed in the past. And the Holy Ghost come down and touched me on that bed, healed my body, and I was in church the next day preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I could do it, when I felt the strength to do it, I sowed a little seed. I put a little goodness out. And in time, it produced the harvest that I benefited from. Am I getting any more time? You may be seated. He'll try to get you not to witness because you're afraid of failure. Everybody I talk to, they don't even want to hear about Jesus. They laugh at me. Only 1/4 of the ground was good anyway. And only half of what was produced on that 1/4 was good. Don't ever forget that. You cannot wait around and just be selective and wait for that good ground. Oh, who's going to accept my goodness? Who's going to accept my gift? Boy, what are they going to do? I want to give $100 to somebody, but are they going to use it right here? You got to sow it. And sooner or later, it's going to fall on good ground. I got news for some of us. I hate to break this to you. But as long as we're in this world, there's going to be sin. I'm probably weak for saying that, aren't I? We're not going to stamp it all out. We're not going to push it all in the corner. Well, Brother Dennis, you must not believe in the power of the blood. Come on, friend. I believe in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3 says this world's cursed. There's going to be sin here. There's going to be tares here. We need to get our eyes off the tares. Get it off the wheat and what God's doing. Let the Holy Ghost move through us and inspire us. I've evangelized full-time for 3 years. I know I don't have too many experiences, brother. But I have experienced a time or two when I didn't have the money to pay my bills. I know you can't imagine that. And I knew God was going to have to pay it. You're saying, oh, that's great faith, Brother Tennyson. No, there was no other alternative. But in times like those, if I would have allowed the enemy to get my attention on the negatives of the church, the humanity and the kingdom of God, he could have brought me down a notch or two. He might not be able to get me go out, drink and smoke and shoot somebody or commit adultery, but if he can get me not to do my best, he's got me a little notch closer to where he wants me. And just a notch at a time. Hallelujah. But I got to keep my mind on what God's doing. Hallelujah, and that we're some hungry soul out there being benefited by what I'm doing. Oh, let's clap our hands at Jesus. I feel it. The enemy will try to attack us sowing generosity to defeat greed by saying, you should stop giving. People are taking undue advantage of your generosity. Is it our concern what they do with our generosity once we give it? That's a problem with too much of us soul winners here. We don't want to do any good for anybody unless we can get a commitment. They're going to come be a tithe payer at our church. Jesus Christ did a whole lot of stuff for people in the Scripture, and he never asked them to follow him. He said, go tell nobody. Man, you don't have to follow me. You don't have to come be a part of my church. You don't have to come and make our crowd bigger. Come on, Pentecostals. Come on. There's a whole lot of people out there that need something. They may never get to heaven, so the very best we can hope for them maybe is they get a little bit of love down here while they're here. All right. Should we make them, before we give them a loaf of bread or buy them a cake because they're hungry, should we make them promise they come to church? So that good. Somebody get in that sack of all that seed you got and just throw it out there. Come on, we know the hour's late. We know the laborers are few. Get in there. Quit being so picky where you put it. And just get it out there. Sooner or later, it's going to find some good ground. And we will see a harvest. Oh, Brother Davis is getting itchy. You better be seated. I was in Baton Rouge not long ago, last September. And I wanted to do something for God. I was tired of just going and preaching in churches all the time and not being a soul winner myself as often as I need to be. So I saw a need. I went to where a lot of these crazy religions, false doctrines go to get their converts. That's a university. Saw a wide open field there. And I thought, wait a minute, it's not my responsibility to save them. So the pressure's off. It's not your responsibility to save their soul. It's your responsibility to go, he said. Preach and teach. Sow that seed. So I just went out there. I decided, we'll take 3 days. Just see what happens. I got some young people from the church there in Baton Rouge together. I said, let's go try this. No, we're not high pressure. I see groups get up there and they preach, oh, you're going to hell. And they do all that on the campuses there. And I said, well, we won't do all that. We'll be kind. We're going to give a bicycle away. Won't even demand they come to church to get the bicycle, give it away in a drawing. And in 3 days' time, just a couple hours a day, we've got 179 names, addresses, and phone numbers of people said, I want you. Tell me more about this Jesus Christ according to the Bible. Don't tell me the world's not hungry. Say not there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. He'll try to attack us sowing concern to fight selfishness by saying we shouldn't waste our precious time on needs that aren't pertaining directly to our church. I think I touched that. Sowing prayer to reveal truth to defeat false doctrine. Well, he says we shouldn't waste all of our time on that feeble effort. We should spend more time tearing those men and philosophies down so others won't have anything else but truth to go to. Do we do it? Do you build your stick making up when you preach and tear them down one at a time? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not overcome with evil, Romans 12:21 says, but overcome evil with good. So good, church. So good. So good. So good. So good, so good, so good. I'm getting ready to close. Young preachers, we may have in this end time more of a problem with respect and getting respect than our elders have had because we're dealing with a very disrespectful generation. But there's one thing we need to get in our minds, that the ministry is not a higher form of humanity. We don't make people come bow to us in order for us to give to them what we've been given. We have simply just dedicated our lives to God, to the study of His Word and His Spirit, that we may aid others in their personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because God uses you or blesses something that you, some effort you gave, does not mean that He approves of your total lifestyle and everything that you do. It's not a blanket justification on what you do. Praise God. I was praying the other night. I was driving a car, and I drive long hours by myself, so I put any kind of Christian tape I can get in there sometimes, just to, you know, some slow old songs will put you right to sleep, and I can't. And I was started praying about this one song, and I thought, this is a little upbeat here. I said, you know, God, tell me about some of these songs here. You know, I don't understand them all. He said, did you inspire those people to write? He said, leave me out of it. He said, just leave me out of it. I use what's available to me. He said, but leave me out of saying that that's what I told anybody to do. Just because God uses what you do doesn't mean it's the divine right thing to do. And that you're perfect in all your ways. God uses availability. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Close with this. There's a couple scriptures in Galatians 5 that they're not giving a complete exhaustive list of things that you can sow, but they're just samples of what you can sow. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. against such there is no law. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let's sow good. Let's sow good. Let's sow good. Let's sow good.
Make me what I ought to be. Help me to
Let's just worship
be more
for a minute here.
Like you.
Sing this chorus and worship the Lord.
Bid me come up higher. Feel thy face I see. Make me what
oh, yes.
I ought.